Until the cannibals eat you because of the, you know, properly marbled, you know, flesh that you have.
Have you seen how skinny most cannibals are? And they have such a specialized diet, they won't get that far. They'll last like a week.
Oh, they're worse than vegans, huh?
Have you ever been on a road trip where you have like a bag of snack food open on the passenger seat?
It doesn't last that long.
Survives. Yes, they're going to pick each other off by the time they find you. Anyway, so just find some, you know, just get like a 65-gallon drum of Cheetos, find yourself a nice cave, or, you know, lock yourself in a high school gymnasium, and just wait out the apocalypse.
I would not lock myself in a gymnasium. I have a non-aggression pact with gyms all over the world.
That's why, like anyone named Jim?
No, gyms are okay. I just don't go exercise.
What's hiding behind you right now, about to pounce? Facts, but better. Welcome to Facts But Better. I am Un, and I will be your moderator. Now, let us introduce our panel tonight. You there with the cheese legs. Who are you, and what's your master plan for world domination?
I haven't had a chance to look over the menu. You go, and I'll have it figured out by the time you're done.
I'll have the cinnamon toast.
Thank you, cinnamon toast.
Plan for world domination, subliminal binaural audio recordings baked into amateur podcasts.
I followed that. And?
Well, I'm Swarth. I'll actually introduce myself here. Following the script.
If you want to follow the rules.
And I'm actually a little bit peeved, because I actually took over the world 35 minutes ago with my trained singing tetrahedrons, but now I find out that we've got someone with cinnamon toast, and everyone knows tetrahedrons are hideously allergic, and the whole goddamn thing just fell apart. You magnificent bastard.
Direct all complaints to Soreth. That's S-O-R-E-T-H, care of this program.
Okay, I figured out my order. I'll have the baked macaroni and cheese with the tetrahedron chips on top.
Thank you all very much.
Oh, and an apple pie shake.
Of course. And so that the points matter, we will be competing over this bag of caramel M&Ms. However, at any time, you can cash in some of your points and get one of these fantastic miniature almond Snickers bars. Whoever has the fewest points at the end wins the caramel M&Ms. And as always, we will have a guest scorekeeper today. New Fish, your turn in the barrel.
Cool. Are we allowed to take pot shots?
It's Washington, so yeah, take all you like.
Nice.
Our main topic for tonight will be children's toys that nobody but you remembers, like Weebles, as seen in Trio the Punch Never Forget Me. Please remember this main topic. There will be a quiz at the end of the program.
So I would just like to point out that Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, and that is unnatural.
If you can't get your Weeble to fall down, you're not Weebling hard enough.
See, once I pulled apart a Weeble to figure out how it worked, magnets and magic.
I didn't write this, so obviously somebody else remembers Weebles, and I guess our task for the night is to find out who it is. So, listening audience, this is being recorded ahead of time, but if you could call us and let us know if you remember Weebles, call us at this number.
5.
And remember,
That's not the number.
And remember, 4. Public, if your Weeble does not fall down for 4 hours, consult a urologist.
3. 2.
Now then. Our first subtopic today will be Nolan Bushnell Did It.
Nolan Bushnell is innocent of these charges.
Now then, our first panelist, please put on the giant mouse suit and terrorize children's pizza parties. I mean, please describe each of the following video games and the history of their creation.
I was going to say, I only do one show a night, you know that.
Number 1, AstroTurf Megatrout.
AstroTurf Megatrout? That was my brother's favorite game, too. Okay, so I have no idea.
Well, first we should probably point out, because there's going to be a lot of kids in the audience, if you're not familiar with Nolan Bushnell was the first Olympic Pong player.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. 78 Olympics in Trinidad.
Where were you when he won the double gold?
I was not yet conceived or built.
Oh,
I was in Tobago with a really good pair of binoculars. It was quite a show.
Oh. So, AstroTurf Mega Trout. Where to begin? Was that the one that was planned for the... what was the one between the Atari ST and the Atari Extra Large? There was the Atari 43.5. They got a little weird with their numbers. There was the Atari with... Let's see, there's the Atari 43.5, Atari 43.500.
There was the Atari Testarossa in 1981, which, of course, was the first video console to exceed a land speed of 200 miles an hour.
Right. And, little known fact, in China, it was actually the Supreme, Atari Supreme model.
That's what it was. Now I remember. It was a Chinese game initially. What you see for the title there, AstroTurf Mega Trout, is actually a horrible mangling of the original Chinese phrase, which is supposed to be AstroTurf Mega Salmon. The resolution was so poor in those days, though, they figured Americans wouldn't really know the difference. They didn't put too much effort into that.
It really looked more like a duck than anything.
I thought so. And unfortunately, beyond that, I don't know about the history of it. I can tell you that, Walt, do you remember that kid who was trying to get the world record for the top score on it? And like, for getting to the final screen in the minimal amount of time, and then, like, apparently had some sort of massive embolism, and just his head exploded before he could finish.
Wasn't that the side effect of the CIA program that they stuck in it when they got it imported?
Literal kill screen.
Yeah, you're thinking, you're thinking Polybius Jr.
Oh, that was cute game. It had the little tiny operative in it with the little, you know, he runs around in the little diaper, like converting people and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that was the one where they did a port to the 2600, but that was the one that had the little trackball built into the cartridge.
Yeah, and it gave you little seizures. Just little ones
that you would usually forget. I mean, I'm pretty sure that I never had any, but I've heard of people who have.
All right, then. If we've all spoken our piece, then number two in Nolan Bushnell Did It is Bloigzerx.
Excuse you.
Well, that was one of the more notorious bootlegs of Berserk. But they just, you know, they honestly just weren't trying. That was the one. That was what those kids, those zany kids in Kansas, they made.
Oh,
they
that's made
the,
right.
They basically just, they got together, you got in a barn and said, hey, let's all entertain the town. And they just, you know, they raised a bunch of money and they just built it out of, like, you know, cricket bats and gewgaws and bubble gum from old baseball cards and the spokes of their bicycles, and it was a fine time for everybody.
Yeah, it was the first analog video game.
And then it turned dark.
It always does.
Those were bad times. I attended the funerals of those children, and they could have gone on to such wonderful things. Yeah. Damn you, Bloigzerx!
Where were you when you heard about their embolisms and brain explosions?
Having one of my own, actually.
Ah. Ooh, bad luck.
Wow. Which of the Polybius games were you playing?
Polybius 4. It was actually unreleased version. I found it in a dumpster behind the CompUSA before it closed outside my high school.
What were they doing with a game released only in Brazil?
Was that the trivia
game? I don't know.
Professor Pac-Man only a... You know, erased dramatically. It was about unlearning stuff instead of learning stuff. It was like, okay, you know, which of these three facts is no longer true?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the one. Yeah. Such fond memories, I think.
Yeah, of course they were fond memories. You remember them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Either that, they're highly traumatic.
Some people enjoy their trauma.
Point.
Polybius
4 paid for was by the National Trauma Council.
Polybius 4 was the best Polybius.
All right. That will do for Nolan Bushnell Did It. Our next topic, politics. Let's begin at the other end of the Death March, I mean panel this time. Please explain why one individual should vote for the other. Number one, why an Arctic orca should vote for Maria, the most delicious salmon.
Prey management. You put them in charge, you let them think that they own the place, you let them reproduce until you've got salmon everywhere, and then you're an orca. You eat them all. Easy.
Sure, but after you eat them all, then there's nothing to eat. So, probably not the best sustainable meal plan.
I guess you let some stay in charge.
Here's the thing, orcas have a real difficult time with the whole concept of sustainability, you know.
Which is why we shouldn't let the orcas be in charge to begin with.
No, let's not be racist here.
It's not about race, it's about competence.
Oh, I ain't touching that one with a 23.5-meter pole.
Specific reference.
Yep.
I'm shocked by all of you, because clearly the answer is because she's the most qualified person for city alderman.
Yeah.
Why, I don't know why you humans always have to complicate things so much out there.
I'm sorry, was that the best candidate for alderman or alder plank?
That's not making it past the censors. Oh, we're going to get letters on that one. Salmon, I'm so sorry. I do not endorse anything.
That just slipped out. Can we remove that in post?
No, but we can send it upstream.
All right, then.
I think that one injured me.
Moving on. Our next word. Why Atraxia, the ephemeral, should vote for Gaius, the eternal?
Shouldn't. Absolutely should not vote for Gaius, the eternal. Gaius, the eternal, is a traitor.
You're just saying that because he's mono green.
You speak against the eternal?
I think anybody who puts pineapple on pizza.
I think this is just
those
are serious accusations.
That didn't happen. Well, it happened, but not like that. It wasn't Gaius. You see, there were a group of Eternals.
Gaius' name was on the order. Gaius' name was on the credit card used to pay for the order.
Everyone else wanted pineapple.
And
you can't blame him for that. He was entertaining.
When it's time to take a stand, you tell the world to move.
Wait, is that how he became Eternal?
No, that was the accident with the rubber bands, the particle accelerator, and the cup of noodles.
There was no pineapple involved whatsoever.
No.
Oh, not then.
Not in his immortality. That was legitimately earned.
I am so lost. Wait. Oh, God. I feel like I've gotten to... I missed so many things in my public school education.
Don't tell me you've never put pineapple in a cup noodle.
No, that shit's delicious.
Yeah.
It's pizza that pineapple is anathema on.
No, come back. Oh, no. We've driven off one of our panelists.
It's okay, now there's more room at the table.
We'll never know their name.
I come in through the floor. Little Stan Freeberg reference for you old people out there.
Oh, I hope you washed your hands after you were done.
Right. And now, clickbait. Beginning once again at the cheese leg end. Please list items in the following clickbaity lists. Number 1, top reincarnations of 1622.
I know y'all had something prepared for this, so don't pretend.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Come on, embrace the controversy.
I actually did some research.
She brought notes. Nerd. No,
you have to understand. The Castlevania chronology is really complicated. So I had to print out some notes on it, and it turns out that while none of the existing Castlevania games actually depict the resurrection of our Lord Dracula, of Count Dracula in 1622, that's only because they moved the timeline. There wasn't a year mentioned in Castlevania V, Curse of the Castlevania. They never mentioned the year in it. It was only later that somebody, you know, one of the Capcom ad copy folks threw a random year on, and it was 1622. But later, Koji Igarashi, Iga for fans, he said, no, that could not have happened in 1622. That officially happened in 1590. So there you go. That reincarnation didn't count. I did hours of research tracking this down. Okay. Eat your heart out, Larry Bundy Jr. And not a single one of you is going to know who that is. Somebody will. Oh, you know. And you know.
I'd imagine Larry Bundy Jr. would know.
Larry Bundy Jr. doesn't know anything.
Ooh, that hurt to do.
Then don't do that.
No, that's not...
Larry, if you're in the audience, please address all complaints to Soreth. That's S-O-R-E-T-H, care of the station.
I'm Electric Keaton. This is Jackass.
No.
She pointed at me as she said that. I'll have you know.
No, just go ahead and send all hate mail, fan mail, and other mail to me. I especially like to get credit card offers.
All right, number two. We're just going to throw this one up in the air and let whoever catch it will. Top advances in surgery of 680 AD.
So, actually, it's funny that you should bring up that specific one, because 680 AD featured the absolute first successful head transplant. There was an accident with a bunch of, I believe it was gardening implements, and Dick Clark quite literally lost his head. So they had to transplant it back onto his original body, which I guess isn't really much more of a transplant. I think that's more grafting at that point. But he made a full recovery, lived a very long and healthy life, about another 1,300-ish years, I think.
I'm pretty sure he's still alive, so I call that 1,400.
He's still alive?
I think so. I haven't paid attention to New Year's for a long time because every year gets horrible and more horrible, so I just kind of ignore the ball dropping because I...
That son of a bitch owes me money. They told me he was dead.
He was. Well, I mean, you know where he's going to be.
All right. New Year's. Gonna do it. Gonna collect.
New Year's rocking, where's my money, Dick?
And for our last round, controversy. Please debate the following controversial statements. First, it is advisable to plant exactly two species of sentient grass per planet to keep them both in check.
Whoa. Speaking of check here, they're sentient. They'll figure it out for themselves. They choose their destiny. It's not for us to say, hey, yeah, you two go at it.
It is totally for us to do that. That's what we do to all competing species in order to choose the strongest. It's like Thunderdome for vegetation. Two grasses enter, one grass leaves, and that means we'll have the strongest one to export in our intergalactic empire when we finally get it off the ground.
You know, just once, I'd really like it if this podcast could get beyond Thunderdome.
Oh.
No. That's not going to happen. Because Thunderdome lives in your soul. It's inside you because Tina Turner had that shit on lock.
Messrs. Servo and Crow, your royalty is in the mail.
Jeez.
No, I've been waiting like 10 years to use that one. I'm pretty happy.
I think everyone gets one free
pack. I'm pretty sure you could have had more opportunities to use that joke in the past 10 years. I mean.
Yeah, but not on air.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, and Beyond Thunderdome is hot now because
Lion?
Beyond Thunderdome is real hot right now.
The kids love it.
I'm working on a remake. I figured everyone was.
Well, everything gets remade eventually. It runs on about a 20-25 year cycle, so we're coming due. Although we did get that other Mad Max one, so it might have to hold off at least another 10 years.
I'm waiting for the Doctor Strangelove remake.
I do like
that one's going to be a MMORPG, actually, that's going to cross over with a LARP.
All are playing.
Yeah.
No, I'm really looking forward to the reboot of Mad Max with light cycles.
Now, before we launch into our second controversy, I would like to remind the panel that thrown objects at one's fellow panelists will be considered cause for immediate defenestration.
And you'll lose points.
No, you won't.
I'll back ya!
No, I won't. I absolutely will not. I will add points if you throw something at somebody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because...
Why haven't you been adding points, then? I've been continuously throwing things at Keith this whole time.
Mostly shade.
I haven't been seeing it.
That defenestration actually sounds really
refs
cool.
Are always blind.
Thing is, like, okay, we're, for those
I'm
of you
not
who,
a ref.
We're all,
I'm a
scorekeeper.
There's
from
absolutely different things. If no one calls
Seattle,
it out, I'm not going to mark
the,
it.
On the top ring, the secret hidden top ring of the Space Needle. And
second to top ring.
Yeah. The one they're not supposed to know. But the one spinning so fast you can't see it, of course. I mean, it's an open secret. That's why we sound a little disoriented. We're all so nauseous right now.
You have no idea what the G-forces are like in here.
Yeah, we're all pinned to the seat.
Yeah.
I had no actual point. Go ahead.
And we know this one is a third rail, folks, but nevertheless, the XA24 virtual chassis is superior to the D32G virtual chassis.
Oh, well, I'll say. You know what?
Do you want to have the forums erupt in flames? This shouldn't have even been brought up.
The technicalities here.
We have the E5 was the best one, even though it's like hard to get anymore, and you can only get parts after you overnight them from Japan.
Point.
Wait, which one is
the E5?
No. Look,
the E5 was a module for the XA24. It would just add gaps.
E5 is the common name for that module, but that's just because that was the only other chassis that showed up in. E5 is the name of the chassis. Module is the E5 Gamma.
You're getting it confused with the E5A, which was the Randolph processor.
E5 Alpha. Yeah,
but that was causing conflicts with D32G, which is why they created the first place. Well, that can go 5 to 60 in 18 seconds, where the other one, I mean, it's got like a full benchmark of like 9.2.
Look, the D32G is basically a glorified vacuum cleaner.
I could never get mine to work unless I actually shook it physically while it was running.
I'm going to stand up here for the D32G because it has more turbo phloems than any other model on the market. It handles much better on linoleum floors and kitchens.
If you drive on it.
It does not attract bees.
Yeah, but we need the bees, and also you can't get it in like all the other shades that you could get the A24 in.
Look, unless you're making a bee casserole,
why aren't you?
What else is the point of having an XA24 virtual chassis?
This is the most sophisticated virtual apiary equipment on the market.
Guys, I can narrow this down to one argument because the rest don't matter. You can jailbreak an XA24.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that other than...
You don't need to jailbreak an XA24. Why would you want to admin an XA24? You don't need to be fucking around with the system settings all the damn time. You want stuff to work.
The thing is, I have to change the GUI font because the one that
is
terrible.
The thing is, and this is actually true, the people in the forums will bear me out on this, you jailbreak the XA24 so that you can load the firmware from the D32G on it.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
You completely lose tachyon sensor support.
That's okay. You don't need it.
Now, where are you going that you don't need a consistent...
Look, anyone who owns either an XA24 or a D32G is already going to have a freestanding high-calibration tachyon sensor.
This is why I hate Exciton fanboys, is this is the sort of thing. Fanboys, fangirls, fan things.
The standalone tachyon sensors have always been more sensitive than ones that are built in other chassis.
What's the one that they're not spheres anymore? What are we supposed to call them? I forget. Now I'm being insensitive.
I don't know. I just want to know how these people think that you're going to get praseodymium resonance out of, you know, the sort of modules that you have in the D32G without 5 Sanchez gaps.
I hear you can get it down to 4 if you're willing to void your warranty.
Do you just supercharge the points on them then? I mean, what do you do? Razors them or something?
I mean, you can do that, but it's actually easier to just put butter on it.
But that's got to get everywhere.
Well, yeah, that's how it works.
But wait, the way the alignment slats are, I mean, that's like a T4 configuration. So they're just gonna. Having butter inside one of these is fine. I've been buttering my virtual apiary chassis for years.
It's a better lubrication than what.
Stock. But you don't want to accumulate. Because then you're going to attract...
There's a little drain valve on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what that's for.
So
yeah.
the first re-entry, and honestly, any excess is just going to boil right off. You'll be fine.
But boil! Those things barely get past, like 4 Kelvins.
Well, no,
What temperature are you running yours at?
No, here's the thing about the D32G is, if you want it to get to top speed, you have to drop it onto a planet. All right?
God,
how sluggish they are. It's because if you're running the XA24 firmware on it, because I've tried that, and I swear that thing steers like a Best Western. Okay,
forum people, please bear me out on this. I am the only sane person in this whole group.
We're not going to come to a conclusion on this one this time, folks. Maybe we might just devote an entire show to this topic next time. Just write us in with your opinions. You know, care of the station. Address all complaints to Sorath.
If anyone suggests the X-45, get out.
Oh yeah, totally agreed. Hey. Like we can all stand together on a platform, right?
The X-45.
Well, yeah. Usually, unless I push you off it because you're talking again.
The X-45 is a juicer, folks. These people have no idea what they're talking about.
Have you seen?
Yeah, it's a shitty juicer. That's my point.
But is it also it's a juicer / virtual apiary, Chelsea?
Look, there's some weird shit coming out of the Bay Area these days.
All right, I'll buy that.
Many people will drink anything.
It's true.
In fairness, it is not a very good juicer, being one of those ones that you can just squeeze the bag.
The bees like it.
You know exactly when we were recording this one, folks.
Yeah.
So basically,
and it's great because the bag is just full of avocado, so you just sort of squeeze that onto your powdered toast.
So you are telling basically what we've made here is a $1,200 vibrator for bees.
Well, why wouldn't you want to
bring the very best?
When you say it like that, it sounds great.
Do bees have that kind of money?
Yeah.
In this economy?
That's, yeah. No.
They're the only ones who do.
I'm glad for them, actually.
50 cents per bee, okay? That's a good dollar.
So
that's a good dollar value.
We'll get to the here, folks. Tonight is income inequality among bees.
We'll get to the rest of the earth
happens later. Oh, no, there's no editing. I'm screwed.
Yeah, we're going to fix you in post.
Well,
I hope you wash your hands afterwards.
In that case, I'm just going to take this uneditable opportunity to say I've seen Jessie naked and she is hot. Now there's going to be editing.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to edit something.
Also, Ronald Wilson Reagan was the devil. Jesus was black. And
Elvis didn't do no drugs.
The moon landings were faked, but the Mars landings were not.
Okay, we're going for an edit to
it. Yeah, but Kubrick wanted to do them live on set.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So they were faked.
He's
on location.
At long last, our final reckoning. What was our main topic? The one who gets it correct will lose all their points, thus winning the bag of caramel M&Ms.
Children's toys fomented by the devil.
It was something about fermenting weebles.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What's a weeble? Is that... What the hell's a weeble?
It's a thing you can't remember.
Oh. Children's toys that mock thermodynamics and the godly universe.
Now, yes. I remember...
So what,
now,
Furbies?
No, they mock us directly, but in their hellish language.
But we're made of the universe, so they're still mocking the universe.
Yeah, but who isn't these days?
They're also mocking Bondor, God of Darkness.
Well,
it's built into the firmware.
Have you seen his new show, though?
It's terrible. God, yeah, it's awful.
Oh my God, it is nothing.
Yeah,
like,
no, he completely deserves it.
It's got a laugh track, for fuck's sake.
I know, someone who still money. Does that?
Big Bang Theory?
Some of my best friends have
a
laugh track.
What is a spinoff from the Big Bang Theory, actually?
That oh, geez, no wonder it's shit.
It's known in the States as Young Sheldon for anybody out there listening at home, so...
I already dropped an F-bomb. What are you worried about the S one?
I thought a Young Sheldon was when you both kind of turn back to back and then the lights go off.
I think that will make me cry. I know how this works.
Well, it seems no one has remembered our topic for the day, but as an infectious disease, I always win in the end. But I'll share.
Hey, you got another promotion. That's great.
Yeah, well,
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
It's been long coming.
Madagascar, you heard him. Close up. Come on, just get going.
Very well. The winner, myself, gets the remnants of the bag, which is all of them. I would also like to observe that no one has touched the almond Snickers, a silent but damning comment.
Oh, I was waiting until the scores were all totaled up, and then I figured we would...
I figured I'd just do the ceremonial defiance. We've got a cray-cray, a klutz, we've got another cray-cray. Can someone check the rarity on that one?
You get we've that got, filth away from
I,
me.
I love,
I'm Southern
love
Orthodox.
We've got a Sleepy. We've got a Jet Fuel Doesn't Melt Steel Beams.
Okay, I'm actually allergic to almonds, so if you can move those to the other side, I'm going to anaphylaxis.
We've got Ultra Rare Cranky.
We've got allergies and religious objections on this side of the table, so please keep them over there.
This means I get everything. I win!
You get the good part.
Oh.
I left you with the ingredients list.
Actually, so looking at the scores here, we've got a three-way tie between myself, Keet, and Ken. So I think we're going to have to slug this out.
No. This is menage a tie.
Okay, so someone better break out the peanut sauce or I'm going home.
Can't we just Rochambeau for it?
Well, that's the Snickers.
Yeah, but it doesn't have peanuts. That's got almonds.
Y'all can.
Oh, man. So, those really are heretical.
Hell yeah.
For those of you not watching the video feed, a large package of M&Ms with actual almonds, peanuts, yeah, has been thrown across the table.
At the one of us who said it was okay to throw things. In fact, it means you get a bunch of points now.
Oh, crap.
So
that means we gotta give up
there the we go.
M&Ms. The technical engineer just got 5 points for throwing stuff at the table, so props to the engineer.
All right. Good job.
Thank you so much. Without you, we are nothing. Please open the doors and allow us to leave. We have families.
We do?
As neither our runtime nor our broadcast licensing covers sugar-fueled melees, that's all for now. Thank you for enjoying Facts, but Better.
We can fix everything in post. Half of my jokes get inserted in post.
Half of your jokes are an inserted post.
We
ooh. Nice one.
Well done. Most of my jokes are actually, they're kind of ADR'd in after the fact. I have somebody else read them over again. They do a very convincing imitation of my voice, which helps. But we just kind of replace all of it.
Yeah, okay, what actually happens with Keet is as the podcast goes up, is uploaded, she's actually doing them live.
Fuck it. Okay.
See, part of the problem is there's some weird licensing stuff because of a contract that I went with a game publisher a while back, and even though the game didn't come out, soundtrack stuff. And it turns out any noises that I personally make in a recording context can't be used. So I'm
that
here to provide the
not
live
a
commentary.
Very good contract.
Oh, it was terrible. She also had to give up her left thigh. Yeah. That's why it's robotic.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I suppose.
I store snacks in it. And there's
For those of you with
chips in here, curry sauce in here.
I told you the home audience just to demonstrate this that this is in fact true here. I'm just gonna. That's your thigh, right there.
Yep. That's my thigh. Yeah.
You know, like most people will put like a gun in there and do like the RoboCop thing, but
that is easy way to shoot yourself.
That is such a poor thing to do. One of the things that they never show is how many times he lets that gun go off as he's spinning it with his finger in the trigger hole.
Oh yeah, he kills like 50 people that way.